Greetings, everyone, and welcome to episode 17 of the Blind Bargains Cast. I'm Joe Steinkamp here with JJ Muddle. Hello, sir. How are you doing this evening?
Hey, how's it going? How was your holiday? Staying dry? Or?
I came back to the abode, so those longtime listeners of the podcasts may recognize the sound and setup, because Patrick knows it very, very well. And back in the Houston area for a little bit, and may have flew in at the right time. Sadly, I'm recording this on a day in which it is the day after the major flooding that has happened in Houston. Some very sad affair. In case anybody is listening to this during the few weeks at which the podcast comes out, please look into the American Red Cross, redcross.org, I believe. But the American Red Cross is taking donations for those who are displaced or unfortunately going through some terrible problems going on with the weather.
A couple entire towns. Texas.
Yeah, Austin also took some bad weather, 6th to like 13th Street. Several businesses were flooded out due to the excessive rains. I know that those of you in California are quite envious of this, considering that you're under a drought warning or really pretty much in the middle of water
rationing. Weird how that works, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very strange when you see people using phrases like 100-year flood or 500-year flood. But I'll tell you the phrase that I'm not really comfortable with is when you're sitting there at 2:30 in the morning getting a bunch of towels together to decide which doors you need to block up from water. And the weatherman points at the weather map and says, so where you don't want to be is right here. And he points to the place where you are. That's never a good feeling. That's never a good feeling.
Wow. Yeah. Stay safe, everyone down there in Texas and Oklahoma and everywhere else down wherever you're at. And hope you're all doing well. We're sponsored this week again by Blind Alive. Some really cool audio workouts and much more. So don't just live, be alive. BlindAlive.com. So be sure to check them out and support them and thank them for supporting the BB Cast. By the way, one more thing I wanted to mention this as a thank you to our listeners. I don't usually talk about numbers and followers too much, but we crossed 5,000 on Twitter, on the Blind Bargains Twitter, and that's really cool. So thank you so much to any of you or all of you that are following us over on Twitter. We really do appreciate all of your support.
You can actually think about going to Dallas. That actually didn't see nearly as bad weather. The ACB has launched the online registration for those who wish to move on up and go to Dallas for the summer convention.
And it's kind of weird how this works. So the NFB does their pre-registration from March to May, and it's just about done as you're listening to this now. You have to the 31st of May if you happen to be getting this right away. And the ACB does theirs starting now through near the end of June. So, you know, two different approaches to things. So the ACB link is up, and you can pre-register. And one thing they do on their pre-registration is they have this huge, huge, huge list of like all sorts of sessions and things you can kind of look through and see what they have. And so we've linked to that if you want to go to Dallas, and we'll link to the NFB form too if you want to go to Orlando, or you could be like a couple of my crazy friends and try to split the week in half.
What? No. Oh.
Wow.
I guess they could use Delta for some of their flights.
Yeah, you get it. Yeah, NFB has a Delta discount from 2%. Well, that ain't much, but up to 10, but it could be up to 10. I don't know how you determine what's what. So I wish that would have come a little earlier, but hey, you know what? Anything is anything. And
exactly.
If you haven't booked a flight yet, and some people are last minute on this, and you still have time, especially Orlando. Orlando is an airport that has a lot of flights going to it. So you could still get flights to Orlando and Dallas too, especially Southwest has expanded their service to Dallas quite a bit, to Dallas Love. There's a whole history behind that.
Bags fly free on Southwest.
They do. Wait, are they paying us for that? No, they aren't.
Sorry.
I wish.
I have to admit, awesome. Though, when I was coming home from CSUN, flew Southwest, and I'd forgotten about the sit anywhere philosophy, which means, you know, mm-hmm. that you're sitting in the very, very front as a disabled individual if you would care to. And that is so much more leg room in the front, in that front row.
I hate it.
That really? Really?
Yep. Because bulkhead, and you have to put your bags up on takeout and on landing.
Don't have a problem with that. Yep.
No, I don't want to deal with it.
I just hold on to my iPad. I'm good.
Too much effort.
Too much? But you because, could be, you know, you could be, you know, playing around with media like, all right, look, I'll just be honest with you guys. This is going to be a really short show because Jay and I found out something right at the beginning of recording.
Yes. And, breaking news. And we stopped the show just so we could post it in the Blind Bargains because we wanted to get it out. And I believe we got ahead of everybody this time, which is awesome. Yay. That always makes me happy. House of Cards on Netflix. All three seasons, as far as we can tell.
That's right.
So
go back and rewatch the first two seasons and hear all that texting. All that bloody texting.
The narration sounds good. Saying.
Yeah, it's that really is kind of the gem of all the Netflix originals that we were waiting for. And, you know, you can bring me a lot of these other shows. And I hope Sense8, which is by J. Michael Straczynski, coming out in June.
I think they're doing them all, aren't they? They're pretty much doing all. Are they doing all their originals?
Have that at day of one. That would be awesome. But House of Cards is definitely the one that I was kind of sort of waiting on. I'd actually stopped watching season three to wait till DBS caught up so that way I could sort of go back and watch things. And I am extremely happy. Family Guy has added more episodes. And what it appears to be is it's almost like the ones you hear on TBS. So those of you who have been watching audio described content on Turner Broadcasting Stations, TBS.
Yeah, either way. I don't know if it's the TBS or Fox or if TBS was using the Fox. Because the last three or four seasons have been done on Fox. Mm-hmm. When TBS picks them up and speeds up the episodes by 7.5%, I don't know if they are using the Fox feeds or if they're, I don't know if they're redoing them. That wouldn't make any sense. They don't always have the best narrators for Family Guy, I noticed, which is
sad. USA Network is the worst too, actually. Those sometimes can be even more worse.
NCIS.
I like it when they take all the feeling out of a scene by reading the most dry copy of those lines, and you don't even know why that joke is funny because the person who is actually narrating the visual joke does it so poorly. But again, like Jay was saying before we started the program today, I am happy. We should be happy. These are happening. Yep. And we should, again, be thanking Netflix and subscribing to Netflix.
And those things will straighten themselves out. The Netflix shows are in stereo because they produce them. The other stuff is in mono. I know that's a deal to some people. It is. I agree. I mean, definitely I would prefer things in stereo. You know, if it's on my phone next to my bed, I guess I don't really care as much, but you know, so all the new stuff that Netflix is producing, of course, why would it not be in stereo? So, I mean, that's good. And, the list, we are just going to occasionally update that list. We've done it twice so far. And since I did it right after I did it last time, Family Guy got added, a couple of other movies.
Burgers
new movies.
Was already there. And so that was
101 Dalmatians.
Oh,
I know you were waiting to see that. I'll be home for Christmas.
I actually was watching Robin Hood. They added the 1974 Robin Hood there, or 73 Robin Hood there. And I was like, wow, I remember seeing this in the theater. And oh my gosh, I'm watching it on an iPad. Had one of those strange moments of technology catching up to you kind of thing. So yeah, 101 Dalmatians. I don't mind that film. In fact, the Aristocats is another one of those that would be really kind of cool. So definitely more content coming up there. And of course, more probably coming to ABC next year. And was it somebody said on iOS, you can actually get to the ABC audio description?
Yes. So last week we talked about ABC, the US ABC having audio description. And I want to say it was Timothy on Twitter who says, and I have not verified this, that you can, you know, that option under settings that we saw on iOS 8.
Right.
I don't even remember where is it under. It's an option for audio description.
All right. Kind of like the way the Apple TV has the ability to set things for audio description, so it shows up all the time.
Right. So there was a similar option on the iPhone that everyone's like, why is this option here? No one's using it. Well, apparently someone's using it.
Yay!
And you can go there.
Just in time for iOS 9 next month. Public beta, which seems to be wanting to run on older devices, if that's to be believed. I need to actually finish this Apple article that I've had sort of sitting around. To be honest with you guys, there really wasn't that much great coming around the Apple Pikes as the lull that comes after the device that sits on your wrist that shall not be named, and WWDC. But the rumors are starting to fly fast and heavy, and there have been actually some changes in Mac hardware over the last week. New iMacs new MacBook Pros. So I'll actually have to get out an Apple article because there's actually stuff happening. Yeah, it's never
you're gonna be needing to, especially in a couple of weeks, you're going to do a whole bunch of Apple articles.
Yeah, I know. And that's okay. I'm glad I took a little vacation now because it's never fun to type up some of the stuff about, you know, this guy moved and this VP is gone.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And I mean, then, well, you know,
Johnny Ive and getting a new position, that's a big story. But
That is a big story. Sure that says a lot.
Settings, general accessibility, media.
Oh, that's where it is?
Yep.
Okay. Cool.
So there you go. You can go try that out and then let us know.
If you guys, I wonder if there'd be a setting for that in Keysoft. Wouldn't that be neat?
No, I bet you there won't. Isn't
not the strangest transition I've ever done to you. But let's be honest, that transition
that was not in the Keysoft 9.5 is officially out after teasers, which were at least in video form this time. Thank you, Greg, for doing those, and actually well done on the video teasers. We knew the exam mode and a couple other things. Internet radio support, which makes sense. The stream has it. Why not put it on the pro note? So now you can. Do exam mode, which means you can't use your spell check and other things during exams. But then when you're done with your exam and the lecture is boring, you can just pull up internet radio and listen to internet radio stations. I didn't see podcasts yet. Maybe that'll come behind it. Looks like so far, just internet radio.
Yeah, kind of what we're seeing from other note takers who have multiple devices, kind of expanding what you're used to on one device happening on another, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, the UEB thing, I guess, is a big deal. Not as much in this country. It's called math to print. So if you type in the UEB's math code, it'll convert it to print. Now, in the U.S., we still can use Nemeth. At least that's more sanctioned here. So that may be more of an international feature, but I know that certainly will be important to some people.
I noticed they didn't call it Braille to print, you know, like the old one that you took the Perkins and stuck it on the old dot matrix. And
oh, gosh, yeah. Was that the Braille imprint?
Braille imprint.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a scary thought.
That's way old. If you have print. a couple of new options, though, by the way, coming out for print to turn it into things more legible for us. First, we got news that Serotech is updating the DocuScan. This has been around for a while. DocuScan Plus. So this is kind of modernizing it, more modern OCR engine and things like that. You can have some more integration and things like that. Bookshare support. You know, it seems like every app that has anything to do with reading, whether it's an actual book player or not, is using Bookshare support just for the heck of it. I mean,
NFB, Newsline, NLS, and Bookshare, those all seem to be the APIs that everybody seems to grab.
But whether or not even like it applies to your app. But, you know, hey, I mean, it's tangentially. I mean, K1000 has done this stuff for years, right? They've put in things that are kind of related to books.
Absolutely. And then in iOS, you have VoiceStream, which is the Swiss Army knife of apps.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then just got this in today. Cam reader for ZoomText Max. So this is like the ZoomText camera on the Windows side, right? That's the way, at least the way I'm seeing this. Where you can,
you've got some OCR functionality on ZoomText on the Windows side. So this would, in not having played with it and just seeing this press release, it seems like some of those features that you're already used to are coming over to the Mac side.
So $299 for you, take a picture and it'll do OCR. And that's going to be definitely more of a low vision product than a blindness product. At least I assume. For now, but who knows after the merger if they will try to bring OCR towards window eyes in the future. And a straight camera mode as well.
A couple of other things going on too. So it seems like there's a lot of AI squared getting ready for convention fodder with all sorts of PR.
I wouldn't be surprised to see some announcements coming, coming from them. And so it'd be interesting to follow.
NDA. Yes, I would agree. I think you are correct in that assumption. For I would not know anything about, hey, I would say you should listen to our hymns thing, because that was under NDA until recently. And you could listen to Jenny Axler talk about that device. Several things that we were talking about a couple of months ago that we said we couldn't talk about. We will talk about them as they happen.
I'm
so that
waiting
is
for my ET. I want my ET. I want my Blaze ET.
I have to return this one. Actually, that's one of the reasons why I'm in Texas. I actually had to come here for some other stuff.
Are they going to send me yours? No, I think I'm going to get a I'm going to get a current one, I think, right?
This is pre-release software or hardware. Right.
I'm assuming I'm getting the one that's actually going to be released.
That would be good.
Yes. Well, we're going to be selling the thing, so on Antigua, so I figure might as well.
Someone who won't be talking about pre-release software, at least not from Dolphin Computer Access, is Mr. Dave Williams, who announced on Twitter that he is leaving the company after 9 years.
A good run.
I am very impressed. Big fan of Dave. Been following him for years and, of course, listened to him when he was doing some stuff for Main Menu. And so got to work with him a little bit on the betas over the years for Dolphin Computer Access. I was a Supernova beta user. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's great. I'm happy that he's happy because as you heard in our AT special, not everybody gets a happy ending in this age. And, I was thinking of Mark Stenzel when we were interviewing him. Mark is, I did want to tell the story during that special, but Mark is one of those guys that was president of a company when he took off from Los Angeles. And then he didn't have a company when he landed in New York. So the story goes. So it's strange how things work out in this industry sometimes. So I'm glad that Dave is moving on to better stuff. And super great to see what's going on. Dolphin has been super active on Twitter lately, they have. Posting a lot more about their various products.
Definitely. And talking to Dave, he's happy. This definitely was an amicable type thing, at least the way he's telling it to us. And he's looking for his next opportunity, as it's often said. And given his past history from that, of course, the Dolphin job kind of came after when he was director of ACB Radio for a while.
You're listening to ACB Radio Interactive.
And doing some other stuff, as you said. So definitely well deserving of something else. So we'll see what happens there. And he may shine a new
shine
job.
Shine on, you crazy diamond, as in Shine On Screen Reader. There's a new screen reader available for Android, and it is called Shine. Now, some people were saying this is from Korea. Some people were saying this is from China. Did you get a chance to look at any of this and see what you think, Jay?
No, I was grilling, and I was having barbecue. It was Memorial Day weekend here in the States, so.
Right. Okay. So you were investigating sausage and or hamburgers and hot dogs.
Ribs actually. And
Okay.
And totally different that. Barbecue sauces. So,
our friends over at Cool Blind Tech actually had some information about this. yes, very much so. Interesting to see some news about a new screen reader on Android right before we get into Google I/O. More about that in a little bit. There seems to be some movement in the Android field. A lot of speculation this week about new Android hardware. Possibly no new tablets this year, but two new Google phones, one from LG and one from Huawei, Kiwi, it depends how your speech says it, but it's the company out of China.
And Huawei.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, that. And also, there seems to be a discount happening on the Nexus Player. It did last longer than your Nexus Q.
You know, but I got a lot of money for a Nexus Q.
That's true. That is the Apple Hi-Fi of Google products, I think.
That's $79 for the Nexus Player now?
Yep. And I do believe TalkBack runs on the Nexus Player. So if you've ever thought about...
I would love to hear that demo. Wow. I guess it just, I guess it just kind of went right past me. I wasn't really aware of that. That would be kind of fun to...
I believe that is listed in the manual for the Nexus Player. I remember doing show notes for that for another show we did last year, and I think I remember that. So I remember the conversation around Google I/O. Google I/O just around the corner.
So here we go. This is TalkBack 4.2, right? We were just talking about this. Mm-hmm. So now I have it set. So right and left, swipe, swipe through, then up. If I swipe up, goes right through granularity. Up and down does that. See, that makes it just a lot cooler.
It's a lot easier than doing a rotor gesture.
Yeah, and of course you can make, and now those other things, those more circles, and using that in practice now, I'm definitely happy for that. So,
and it seems like there's more options on the list menu than there is in the circles.
Maybe
it's easier to hit.
Or maybe the circle point. Like you always felt like you missed one every time I did the circle. Agreed. I was like, oh wait, I didn't see that option last time. and this time it pops
up. But considering that I used Ideal Web Reader back in the days of version two of Android, this is still light years beyond what we've been using as longtime Android users. I'd say it was an Uber experience. See what I did there?
Uber. Is this another scratch your head Uber story?
Disability laws do not apply to us. Huh? What?
You need some new lawyers there, buddy.
It's
just not going to apply.
At least next Netflix, a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about that, about 2 months ago, the article that we posted from Ars Technica, and they acknowledged the deaf and they said, yeah, we really, are working on that, but we don't have a physical office. So therefore, ADA doesn't apply to us. They have not been as brash as to say, King Kong ain't got nothing on me, because that's what this comes off as.
Oh, man. But yeah, we'd be happy to create a separate service. Separate but equal. No.
Separate but equal. Yes, thank you. I mean,
it's funny, man. And it's not. I mean, it's. I don't get.
We were looking at Amazon and thought we'd just create one of those pages for you people, but
yeah, you know what? You can't use the excuse that you cannot control. This is not even a legal gray area to me. If someone contracts for you, they're still your contractor. They still are representing your company. If they do something on behalf of your company, if I am constructing a new roof for your house and I contract out part of that to someone else and they put a big hole through your roof, I'm still liable for that. I can't say, I'm sorry, that was my contractor that I subcontracted out. I'm not liable for that at all. I mean,
I would have thought this was a Blind Onion headline at first if I had not seen it on reputable news sites. Yeah. It was... Definitely, I can't believe this is unreal.
There's a big disconnect between some of Uber.
Yes,
I'll call them whatever. Legal department and their PR and marketing folks. So I don't know. I just,
it's a shame because we have a link here that lists all the places you could use it if you speak Spanish. So in a way, this is them kind of also doing this was a niche market to us. But at the same time, there are people who would feel more comfortable being in a car that would have their language. Kind of what Lyft is doing with profiles.
Is that
took a Lyft the other day and it was like, hey, would you like to fill out your profile?
No, not really.
Thank you, though.
This language thing, though, I really could see – it almost seems a little racist.
I could see someone coming in from an international flight and being familiar with Uber and wanting, say, a car that spoke Chinese.
Can I get a car that speaks Ebonics or something? I mean,
I imagine, that some people would feel more comfortable getting to know the city with someone who knows the language. I could see that. I mean,
no, I see their side of this. Yes, I do. I know I'm being a little facetious, but
for sake of debate, I agree with you. It is kind of like that. And there was an interesting article. Maureen Dowd this week actually wrote about how she had never thought about drivers rating her, and she had an Uber driver tell her, you do know that on your profile, it's listed that they have to wait for you to come out. And that's why when you fired up your app and you saw a bunch of cars all go away from you, that's why nobody wanted to pick you up, because you have a bad rating. And so she had this moment where she had forgotten that she was being rated just as much as you rate the drivers and rate the service. And it never really kicked into her in that way. And then right before recording, I tweeted out from my at Ranger station that some Uber drivers are converting their cars to yellow cabs. So that's an interesting thing going on in New York.
That's
more Patrick. Patrick's up in the New York area. He could tell
some people. Some people like, it's two different types. I don't see the problem. But look, a lot of the drivers like to drive for Uber because they don't want to work 12-hour shifts. But you perhaps have the possibility to make more money with cabs, especially in New York, because you can hail and you can go on, you can go to certain spots like the airports. So, hey, there's both. I have no problem with this. But whichever market wants to survive, whatever works out. So
yeah, marketing is something Microsoft is not really good at. They were doing really well by, well, let's put it this way. They were doing a Windows 8. Everybody loved Windows 8 until Windows 8 came out. Then everybody was like, really? Really? And this is confusing. Unfortunately, it seems to be that Windows 10 is also falling into that trap. Last week, we talked about the various versions and SKUs that were coming for Windows 10. Now we get to find out whether you get Windows 10 for free and do you qualify. There's an article here. And of course, last week's Windows Weekly, which is on my docket to listen to, but I haven't made it there yet, goes over just exactly how you can be sure that you get a copy of Windows 10 in that first year for free. They have come out and said constantly, if you follow some of the Microsoft things or the news sites that follow Microsoft, that they're not charging for upgrades, they're not charging for features, they're not charging some subscription fee, possibly yet, question mark, who knows. But at the moment, for the initial release, go on over to this link that we have at blindbargains.com and take a look to see if this is something that you will fall into. They were saying that they were going to allow pirate versions of Windows 10 to be have an upgrade path. Now they've kind of sort of altered that statement a little bit. I will go back to what I always say about Windows stories. It's not real until it ships, until the bits are in the OEM's hands. And even then, it's not real until the bits are flying. So again, read these articles with a little bit of salt because it may change between now and the time of release. Updates is something that happens a lot. There was an article that also went around in Wired this week that said just minor updates to apps can really damage your experience to those who are disabled. That was a really interesting article. Moreover, there is a feeling about how some little updates can really make the experience much better. Audio Defense had an update last week, which allowed you to have an headphone stereo check. So for those of you who may have had your left and the right and the right and the left, they put that in there. They also put in some controls for those who weren't good with swipe, who were not necessarily good at tap for reloading. They made those specific buttons. Zombies Run has an update coming. And also a patch coming that they submitted something like 9 days ago or something I was reading. And of course, A Dark Room submitted theirs a long time ago too. Therefore, there are lots of game updates coming because audio was really messed up in 8.3. And there are some people still catching up. One of my apps that I play for low vision friendly apps, Injustice, actually just had a update for its audio because I was having glitches. So Batman would go, and then like it would stutter and say oversample, and it was really annoying. But they just fixed that recently. So more people are playing games all the time, as we talk about on this very program. There have been a couple of Kickstarters about audio games that I've tweeted out as well. We haven't turned those into articles because we're kind of sort of on the fence about how many times we talk about Indiegogo or Kickstarter articles. But there is a great conversation about this in Touch Arcade that we link to. There are a lot of people doing stuff for Touch Arcade. There have been people that I know that I follow on Twitter appearing on podcasts of theirs and also writing some guest articles. And this is another one of those articles that kind of sort of gives you an idea of what we were talking about with Michael Fear a couple of weeks ago. And there are more and more audio games coming out all the time. And this is just the golden age. This is fantastic to have all this choice.
It's definitely, it's exploded quite a bit over, especially over the past year or two. And as companies realize that they can be viable with it, you know, and there's definitely some cool stuff there and more on the horizon. So we'll, you know, as we find cool games, or if you find a cool game that you play with, let us know. And, you know, if you want to review it, awesome. Send it over and we'd be happy to, we'd be happy to check it out.
Yeah. When we're not playing Trivia Crack.
Yeah, or watching House of Cards.
Which also updated last week. Oh, yes, House of Cards. Yep, our DBS. We have a lot of time to waste. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of those shows. And you know what? We're kind of been putting it together on the fly because the two shows after this we know are going to be huge, talking about Google and talking about Apple. This is the show before those two shows, but we do have some stuff coming up, including your comments and a tip regarding a drum machine on the web called TypeDrummer. Yes. If you haven't heard of this thing, it is kind of weird, but kind of cool. So stay tuned for much more on BBQ. Up, down, 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 up,
Do you have dreams of getting fit and healthy? Only to have them shattered? Blind Alive is here to help. We offer competitively priced, eyes-free workouts with complete descriptions designed for you, whatever your level of health or fitness. You can download or purchase CDs, and if you have any trouble, support is just a click or call away. Check us out today at www.blindalive.com. And if you like what you find, be sure to tell your friends. Don't just live, be alive.
Microsoft Excel is one of those programs that's really powerful if you just start figuring out how to use it. So to help us today, we're bringing in Shar from the Cisco Academy for the Visually Impaired to give us a really cool tip on naming ranges for columns and rows in Excel, and she'll explain all about that.
Hello, everybody. I am here to tell you really quick how to make Excel read your column and row titles, no matter what your screen reader is or which computer it's on. Because the screen readers, both JAWS and NVDA, have keystrokes in order to do this. But if you change screen readers, it won't read. And if you send it to someone else, it won't read. So doing it from within Excel rather than from with screen reader keystrokes makes it sort of universal, which is very helpful. So I am going to make it so that you can hear my JAWS, and I'm going to open Excel.
Excel.
Okay, I'm creating a new workbook.
Book 1, Dash Excel, C1, blank A1.
All right, here's a blank workbook. So in A1, I'm going to start a row of column titles. So the first one will be student.
Blank B1.
The second one will be assignment.
Formula. Blank C1.
Don't mind the little JAWS scheme I've got going. If you hear the weird editing sounds and so on, that's all that is. Grade.
Formula. Blank B1.
And date.
Formula. A1.
Okay, I'm back to A1. I'm going to go down in column A and create my row titles.
Blank A2.
These are going to be student names. So Mary Formula. Smith.
Blank A3.
John
Formula
Johnson.
Blank A4.
Mark Markson.
Blank A5.
And Eric Erickson. Formula. We'll go Viking today. Okay.
Mark Markson A4. Johnson A3. Mary Smith A2. Johnson A3.
Fix that.
Mary Smith,
okay.
A2, student A1.
The easiest way to do this is to be sitting on the intersecting point between your column headings and row titles, if at all possible. Try and make it possible. That's good spreadsheet design. And I am. I'm sitting on A1. So to the right of A1 are my column titles, and to beneath A1 are my row titles. So I'm at the intersecting point. I'm going to hit Control F3. This is the
Name manager.
Where you name ranges. I'm going to hit spacebar on new.
New name, colon, alt-n.
Now, in order for this to work, you have to name this title. So I'm going to do that with a capital T. T-I-T-L-E. You might want to note if I hit tab.
So colon, workbook, alt-s.
You can set it to either workbook or worksheet. I'm leaving it on workbook.
Name, colon, alt-n.
And I'm going to hit enter.
Book 1, Excel recover the following files. Save the ones you wish.
Okay.
Title student equals C1, $A$1, workbook 1-1.
Okay, that's to confirm. That's $A$1 for my absolute value. It gives me the name range, and it tells me that the scope is workbook. Note, if you move arrow keys in here, you're going to change the selection, so don't do that. I'm going to shift tab to close.
Filter. Delete. Alt-D. Edit. Alt-D. Do. Alt-N. Close.
Spacebar on that.
Book 1. Student A1.
Okay, and I'm back sitting on A1. Now, if I go down a row to Mary Smith.
Mary Smith, A2.
And I hit tab.
Assignment, blank D2.
You will hear that JAWS now reads the column titles.
Grade, blank C2. Date, blank D2.
Okay, and if I hit down arrow.
John Johnson, blank D3. Mark Markson, blank D4. Eric Erickson, blank D5.
There you go. And that's how that goes. And just to prove that this is not screen reader specific, I will also attempt to do this with NVDA to read these column and row titles. So I now have NVDA loaded. I'm going to go back to our workbook.
Icon 2 on 4, book 1-XL, icon, book 1-XL.
Okay, I'm back at
Student
A1.
A1.
I'll go down one.
Mary Smith A2.
Okay, now I'll hit tab.
Assignment B2.
So there we go. There's our column titles.
Break C2. Take B2.
And if I down arrow.
John Johnson D3. Mark Markson D4. Eric Erickson D5.
There we go. So that It's just to show you that it works across screen readers, and it also works across computers. So you could send this to your friend or share it with a colleague like we do in Cavi. We use spreadsheets for many things, and having those named for you without you having to do it yourself if somebody else has created the spreadsheet is very handy. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much to Carrie Hoth and everyone at the Cisco Academy for the Visually Impaired for sending over that audio. You can go to ciscovision.org to learn about all of the courses that they have available. Some really cool stuff, everything from learning about things like Microsoft Office and networking to audio and many, many others. So all sorts of really cool courses, both in a longer form, it takes a few months, or short courses that just take a few weeks. Lots of cool offerings, and they're always changing. So just go to ciscovision.org to learn about the latest from Cavi. And of course, we'll link to that in the show notes as well at blindbargains.com. All right, it's time to get a little musical here. And this time, we're gonna get funky. No, I'm just kidding. We're not doing that song. This is a website called Type Drummer. Yes, it takes letters that you type into an edit box and translates them into drum samples, which you can use to then make obnoxious beats. It's programmed by a gentleman named Kyle Stetz, who apparently has way too much free time on his hands.
Multi-line edit load.
So we go into this edit box here, and you start typing a letter. So if I type an A, there's a typical little drum hit. If I type a B, now I have two letters, A and B. So it's going back and forth between the two samples. You can just keep typing letters. There's a C, and there's a D. There's A, B, C, D. So of course, you could be a little more interesting. We could do, say, J. No, let's do C, A, J. And make drum beats that actually sound like drum beats. As they're supposed to. There's 26 letters, so there's 26 different samples. And you can type as much as you want in here. So you can type all sorts of things. And it will create all sorts of beats. You're hearing some pauses in there. That's because I actually typed a number. A number is not an actual drum sound, so it put a rest in that spot. So you can kind of go back and forth and edit it. And we can take out these numbers, actually. And tighten this up a bit here. Put some other random hits in here, and you can kind of keep messing with this. As you figure out which of the letters does each of the 26, it's case insensitive, so you do whatever you want here. I'm doing this in Firefox. It worked better here for me than Internet Explorer, but your mileage may vary as far as your operating system and whatnot. Also, make sure that you have your browse mode turned off, forms mode turned on, however you do it in your web browser, because you don't want your screen reader eating the keys, because these keys need to all go to this. So you can make fabulous beats. You could do parentheses as well here. So you can do parentheses. And you could do triplets. Imagine that. And then when you have a beat that you really think is cool. Oh, yeah. We go down here. Share this beat. And then you can send it to all your friends. So when you got a beat you want to share, you can send it over to us. Feedback at blindbargains.com. And send over your awesome drum beats. Again, this is Type Drummer. We'll link to it in the show notes on blindbargains.com. Send your feedback and tips to feedback at blindbargains.com. All right, that's gonna do it. All right, we're done. Thanks, Kyle, wasting my evening.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
Welcome back, everyone, to 5,000 Strong. That's right, 5,000 followers on Twitter, Blind Bargains and the Blind Bargains cast. And now we will get into some of your feedback. Let's see. We got in a bit here from Twitter about Spotify Premium being good for Windows 8.1.
So that's an interesting, we had a bit of a conversation on that. Last year or several months ago, there was a new version of Spotify in beta that actually had a lot more screen reader, and by more, I mean much of any, because the old version worked with a lot of tinkering. And then it actually didn't work at all after that. So the beta version, I think, now became the current version and theoretically is a lot more accessible. I don't know if you have to have premium or not. So if you're using Spotify, it may be safe to go to the current version. I know we had this hack from Brian Hartren at one point where you could stay with the old version. So yeah, this is for Windows and, try it out, I guess. And we'll see where we're at with this. I need to try it out myself. So I have not yet. I do have Spotify Premium. I use it all the time.
I'm one of those silly people that uses iTunes Radio at the moment. And I know I can already hear people groaning. For the moment, that's kind of the only toe that I've really dipped in streaming. I always see that Google, try it for 30 days, try it for 60 days. And I really vowed to try and get into Google Music sometime this year. I want to wait till after I.O. to see if there's anything going on with it. But I'm old school. You know, I'm radio television communications major from a long time ago, and I'm used to just owning physical media. So I am having a hard time with letting go of discs anyway. But when considering I'm looking at some cardboard boxes with stuff that I'm thinking about shipping, I might actually be getting way into the ones and zeros of music, as much as I'm not a big fan of
yeah.
them. Dark Nexus is not a fan of things. Dark Nexus has written in on our comments page before on articles and, of course, the podcast. This comment about the Korean backpack with the GPS system that we were is quite within the wheelhouse of what Dark Nexus has written before.
Pretty much summed up what I wanted to write.
It was very, very humorous, as if we didn't stick out like a sore thumb enough. Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. And ending with the line, die. Yeah. Yeah. I don't disagree there. There's just nowhere to go. I mean, unless you're going to market it like you're now one of the Ninja Turtles with a great big shell on your back or something. I don't know. Yeah. So that was interesting. We also got in another comment, this time talking about the Blaze ET from our show the other day. And, you know, it kind of, to sum up the full transcript of what was written is in our show notes, but this does come back to the age-old conversation of I can't see myself using this when I have an iPhone or insert smart device here. Yeah. I've had this conversation on a number of podcasts over the years. I will just say that I've had an XT. I've always enjoyed my Blaze XT. Good grief. I was doing that during the beta too. My HIMS BookSense XT. There are you've said it, Jay, on this show. It's great to have choices. And it's great not to have to pull from that battery of that iPhone all the time. It is also great not to have to fumble around, flick, 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 and do five things to do something that I could just easily do with the press of a button.
Battery life is definitely one of the biggest, when I ask people why they choose these. Battery life is probably the number one reason that I hear. And then the ease of use factor, the consistent interface as opposed to the apps, which, let's face
update,
it.
It's all changed.
Yeah. I mean,
what's happening with Audible. How many people are complaining about Audible this week? Oh, another Audible update. And I still can't delete books with VoiceOver.
Yes. Not everyone. I mean, we see a wide range of customers that call in, and everyone has different skill levels. And, not everyone uses the iPhone like you or I, or maybe a lot of you that are listening uses it. We're certainly people that, brand new to the thing. So,
and if you go to convention this year, have a good conversation with NLS, and they will be happy to tell you that the Bard app is nowhere near as popular as the standalone players still. The standalone players still reach their core audience.
That would be some interesting smart stats. Device use.
Yeah.
We should pull them. They're governments.
I've heard those numbers before, and the number of people that are using Bard is shocking to me, as in it is a lower number than I would have expected.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the thousands, right?
It was somewhere around 6,000 at launch last year.
I heard that. Yeah, that was the first week number. I'm sure it's gone up since then. But
I've heard that's gone up marginally. It's like somewhere around 10 or somewhere. Mm-hmm. But again, that's anecdotal. That's nothing to cite us by. But regardless, that is still nowhere near the number of people that are using it. That are using just the Texas State Library. I don't know about Michigan up in your way, but the lion's share is still people use the NLS players. And again, we're back to individual choice. There are some people who don't want to use a smart device. Now, as stated here in this email, this is the right solution. And for some people, if they're out traveling and they didn't charge their iPhone this morning and they didn't want to put on a 50-pound juice pack or some other external battery source to their iPhone, it might be worth it to them to play NLS on another device. It might just be perfect for them.
We had a tweet from Jesse asking us about, would you like me to come on sometime to talk about access to Disney attractions and accessibility? Yeah, that would be really cool. Absolutely. That's why I wrote them. And, you know, it doesn't have to be. When we talk tech, I mean, tech is really a very blanket thing. Of course, we've done some cooking stuff in the past, and we'll do some more of that. And, you know, there is a lot to technology. It's really kind of a lifestyle thing. So it is, you know, you can, we're open to lots of ideas, and doesn't necessarily have to always be Android and Apple. So if, you know, you have other ideas for things, do let us know. And of course, you can do the feedback address at feedback@blindbargains.com. But, you know, do the comment on the show. If you comment on the website, on the page for the episode, instead of, you know, of course you can do feedback, and I'm not going to discourage it. But if you do it on the website, then everyone else gets to see your comments too. And then other people can see them and reply to them and things like that. So,
and then they will end up in show notes, like CW's recent email that we were talking about with iOS versus the Daisy players, or talking MP3 players. There we go. Or any number of ways that we've called that in the past. So definitely that is a great way. Or, you know, hitting us up on Twitter. Ideas have come fast and furious, and we do appreciate that. And I agree with you that there's going to be iOS and Google Talk for the next couple of weeks, because we've got those. But after that, it's kind of free sailing again until we get to convention season. And after convention season, then it gets into the holidays. And that's when you see things like somebody tweeting out the talking coffee pot. You know, has anybody played with that? Let's talk about it. There are other things out there. And of course, also the Uber demonstration that we had with Mike May was good for some people who are, you know, in places that do not have it. You know, I've been actually going to different parts of Texas this month, and I've been firing up Uber and Lyft, and it's really sad to see no cars available in your area, or on Lyft it just says N/A. It's like, no, I feel like
when you're used to it,
caged in. I couldn't believe I got used to this so quickly, so fast, to have that, you know, ability to go places. Movie reviews, there are great big movies that are coming out here, game reviews, all sorts of things. So the world is your oyster. This is your show. Let us know what you want to hear, and we'd like to accommodate you, except when it comes to the last word.
Joe each week finds all sorts of interesting stories to talk about. And then for some reason doesn't bring any of those here. Instead, he goes deep down into his recycle bin and finds a whole bunch of other stuff. And this is what we have, Joe.
I'm very proud of you. See? Yeah. All right. That was a good one. I'll give you credit on that. You actually kind of sort of, the first story here was something that I almost imagined you would tweet off of your personal account. So it's an article about somebody being very honest about a job posting.
I did see that.
Thought you'd love this. So they said that the job is SH*T, and they said that the boss is D*CK.
Yeah.
In the job posting, which is just awesome.
By the boss. Yeah. He, you know, the most honest boss ever. I don't know. Would you work for that boss?
You're going to work for me.
I'm not going to like you for, you know, we probably won't get along for the first 3 years.
I am that. And truth in advertising, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I wish more LinkedIn posts would look like this. I really do. LinkedIn is like dating sites for working people. It's, yeah. It's never what you don't look like your photo. Yeah, this job doesn't look like what you'd posted. So,
why do you have all these recommendations? I don't think you're good at any of these things.
You seem to be much younger than what you appeared online with years of service. How did that happen? Hate LinkedIn so much. So anyway, the next article that we have here is something I got from Huffington Post Tech Feed, and it is about how your taste in music changes as you age. I guess this is the Taylor Swift conundrum for those who may not follow that young lady and her popularity. I love this article for multiple reasons, but one of the reasons that I isn't mentioned here is, so I'm just not sure how I feel about hearing The Clash and the Sex Pistols in the grocery store. They're songs that are familiar to me, but they also are directly marketed to me, and I still enjoy them, but I don't enjoy them like I used to. There's a scientific reasoning for why you like certain songs and why your taste changes as you get older. And it sort of reminded me also of Devo years ago realized that there was a term called Muzak. And for those who are much younger than Jason and myself, Muzak was the term of the canned audio of music that you would hear in stores. And they were all covers, really bad covers of popular songs.
Oh, gosh.
And Devo was afraid that that would happen to them. So they went ahead and released Muzak versions of their own hits. And they called it the EZ listening disc.
Released on Ryko at one point. Funny. The music
totally available, still out there. It's on their discography.
Okay.
And so I can't decide these days if I would prefer to hear Muzak versions of Beyonce songs or what I like to continue
to hear. The modern equivalent that we have now is now there's all the smooth jazz versions.
Yeah, yeah, that isn't Richard Cheese. I like Richard Cheese.
No, those are cool too. Like you can get smooth jazz of Beyonce or Mary J. Blige or Tupac or whatever, you know, Iggy Azalea. Yeah. Which
that is just, I don't know. That is just so strange. I guess that's so you can ease your parents into what you're listening to. Is that the modern day equivalent of that?
I did hear it as background music at a friend's wedding during dinner.
Oh, was there dude, that is hysterical. That is really, really cool. YouTube brings you a lot of those too. And I do have a tendency to tweet those out as Ricky's wake up songs. So I've done that a couple of times where there's been just strange covers of things. Recently there've been a lot of banjo covers of Metallica songs. I don't know why.
Oh yeah. That goes all the way back to Banjobi.
Oh, is it? Oh,
I think that's where some of that started. That's where the idea came from.
Oh, that's awesome. Slayer has a couple of banjo versions too.
Rain that's a Blood touring is band, I believe too. Banjobi.
Just, oh, cool. thank you, internet. Lastly, and I will say again, thank you, internet. I have often thought about going to Sight Village and visiting my friends, Steve Nutt and Brian Hartchin and all the other people, going to see Leonie Watson talk about HTML5. This is a thing I wish to do, but in the meantime, I'm just afraid that I wouldn't fit in. So this link here, which I came across, is a... slang words and how to curse like a Brit. Shall we hear a little bit here?
My favorite swear word is bollocks, which is a modern version of the Anglo-Saxon word ballocks, which had the same meaning. Bollocks is a very versatile word. It can be used if something goes wrong. I run out of milk. Bollocks. It can be used to suggest that somebody might be telling a lie. We've run out of milk. Bollocks, I can see you hiding it behind your back. It can also mean that something is amazing. Mm-mm. This milk is so tasty. It's the bollocks.
So yeah, I've heard those phrases used, and I don't think I've ever had the idea of where you use them. What is the right context for using them? I've watched lots of Mitchell and Webb, and now I have a greater understanding of how to use those phrases that are mentioned here on how to curse like a Brit. And I probably just offended most of our U of K audience.
You know, you need to stop doing that.
Can't help it.
Anyone. Do not offend any listeners ever.
It's the Doctor Who fan in me. I can't stop. I can't stop.
I did find one story, which is there's no way to segue to this.
Okay.
There was a waffle maker dispute.
Oh, yes.
results in 30 people getting kicked out of a hotel. Apparently, two ladies were fighting over. One was there starting to make a waffle. Someone else comes up and, you know, ask if she was busy or whatever. And then she's like, oh, it's my waffle. No, it's my waffle. And it turns into a big brawl. Well, not like don't punch us or fire, but filed, but, you know. But
yeah. So in the state of Texas, I don't know if you've come across this before, and it happens a lot at convention. And I think it is a Texas law. I think it was passed in the legislature some years ago. There are waffle makers in the shape of Texas. In most of the hotels that I have gone to enjoy the complimentary breakfasts in Texas, there is a waffle maker there in the shape of Texas.
Really?
Which I guess is really great if you're sharing a waffle, because then you could just, you can have the panhandle and you can have this and I can have the South Texas and that'll work out really
you can
great.
Get a, why? That must be a
For
big...
For some reason, people leave East Texas. I don't know why, but...
Oh, yeah. The Texas Texas waffle maker creates mouth-watering waffles in the shape of Texas.
Yep. There was a cast iron frying pan for a while in the shape of Texas. You used to be able to get it from Bucky's, which is a not really a convenience store, but it's kind of a gourmet gas station kind of thing here in Texas. I know. I can't think of a better way to explain Bucky's, but where else can you get... Like, you know, handmade burritos to order and blue cheese in crumbles.
Okay.
You know, it's very Texas. It's huge, you know. So this one particular one that's not too far away from my house has 82 pumps.
Whoa.
And that's a small Buc-ee's. That's a small Buc-ee's. It's not big Buc-ee's. But they are known for making their own snacks and stuff. I mean, they're big enough to have their own house brand of items, which is just tripendicular. They had some great fudge for a while called Texas Heat, which was chocolate with cayenne, and it was so
good. I could see that working, as long as the cayenne wasn't too overdone.
So, yeah, it was sweet on the front, and then you had the bite on the back half. Yeah, it was really, really good.
I could definitely see that working.
So if you have any waffle makers of your own state, maybe you're in Florida or, I don't know, Kansas, if you have a waffle maker or some other shaped...
Well, it turns out for the little kids, they get the Rhode Island one.
Yes.
Texas Waffle Maker is $62.70. It's available on Amazon, and we'll put a link to it in the show notes.
Yay. Definitely update that now since you're on that page. That'll work. So that gives you an idea of the stuff that we look at. The lull before the big shows. We had also a big thanks to Ricky and Shelley and Chansey last week, who did an amazing job. We've got a lot of great comments about that. We thank you very much. We thought it would be a very interesting conversation. And also, it's good to look at where we've been. Jay was mentioning he didn't like talking about numbers and stuff. I'm kind of sort of the same way. I don't like to jinx our numbers. But numbers for our show have been very, very positive. And we thank you so much for going out there and letting people know about our show, passing it around. I saw people, several people in the last 2 weeks have been looking for podcasts. And several of you on Twitter have been mentioning us with other great podcasts. And that was just very flattering to see that the BB cast was mentioned amongst all of these other podcasts that people recommended. So definitely go into iTunes and rate us. So other things like Tech Doctor or those guys over at Apple Viz and their podcast, other podcasts get bumped up, because when you rate the podcast, it goes to the little section called recommended, and it recommends other shows that are very similar to our own. So definitely go in there. We have, I think, 10 ratings now, which is fantastic. And so do that for us. Keep mentioning us on Twitter. Pass it around to your friends. The link, please, because that's another thing, is the best way for us to know how you're listening and who's listening is to click on our links, either through our Blind Bargains app, available for iOS and Android, or over on our web player over at blindbargains.com. And just like music, when you hear people say, you know, don't download my song and share it with your friends, podcasts are the same way, not just for this show, but all shows. There are mechanisms out there that allow people to see just how popular shows are. And that actually directly affects our content. So if you like a show and you did get it from another source, go back and click on that show's link so we can actually see how many people really liked that show. And that means we can do more shows that are based on that content.
Definitely. You know, lots of cool ways to listen to us, as we always say. We're definitely on TuneIn Radio as well, so you can go there. I believe they have a rating thing as well, and I haven't even checked that. But another place, if you have that app, go check that out. Of course, you can get us there. And again, thank you for following us. 5,000 on Twitter is amazing, and we do appreciate that. And that's awesome. And yes, it's just a number, but it is a big number, and you know, makes us proud to see how far Blind Bargains has come on Twitter over the past, I think it's been 5-6 years now since we've had a Twitter. But I remember Blind Bargains was my first Twitter account, and I was a Twitter noob. So the first script I wrote pulled the headlines from the webpage, like it does now, but without the links. A couple days later, maybe it makes a little more
sense. Why isn't anybody clicking? What's going it's like, on?
I'm like, this is kind of a, I'm like looking at everybody else, like, oh, this is kind of a pointless feed. Maybe we should actually put the story links with the headlines. It works better that way. So you can go back to tweet one or two from way back when.
I've been tweeting longer than I did the blog. And I like micro blogging. It's probably one of the reasons why I can't stand Facebook now, because you can put like half a novel up there. But you can follow me on Twitter. I'm a little high traffic. You will see a lot of these stories that show up in the show on my feed, but a whole lot more. Plus some crazy music and food and science fiction related stuff. You can find me at twitter.com/rangerstation, RANGERSTATION, all one word. And definitely stay with me as we get into the conversations about Google I.O. and Apple's WWDC, for I have a tendency to say some snarky things about said conferences.
I'm on Twitter at Blind Bargains. I'm the one usually running that account. So you can tweet me there or DM or mention us. And of course, you can do at ATGuys as well. And go to ATGuys.com if you want to buy things. Cool technology, assistive technology, some cool new headsets coming down the pipeline. Of course, I mentioned we have the Auden.
No.
And we will be selling both the Blaze ET and the Smart Beetle. So we will have them soon. And definitely, if you want to kind of be first in line for that, you can certainly send us an email to support@atguys.com. And we can hook you up and let you know right as soon as those are available. We can put you first in line for those. So thank you so much. Thanks, Patrick Perdue, for doing the audio editing and making us sound good. And thanks to the Cisco Academy for giving us a little bit of audio for this week's show as well. We do appreciate that.
And a big shout out to our sponsor, Blind Alive, this week. They have been a sponsor with us for a couple of shows. And if you are definitely thinking about getting yourself ready for the holidays, the summer is a great time to do that, and exercising, you know, it's that thing where you say, oh, I was going to do that for New Year's. No. Do it now that the weather is better. Definitely check out Blind Alive and see all the wares that they have there so you can be fit and shapely for the summer or the winter. That's going to do it for this particular episode. Remember, feedback@blindbargains.com if you want to drop us an email. Otherwise, enjoy the next 2 weeks, because it's going to be a lot of content. So hang in there, folks, and have a good week.
Bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2015.